In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Very glad to be with you. I'm reading again from the Gospel of Mark, and the scripture says, John the Baptist preached, saying, "There comes one after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. For indeed, I have baptized you with water, and he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire," is another place. "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus the Lord for 30 years had a hidden life. And when his public life began, he went to be baptized. Now, we know he is sinless. It has nothing to do with sin. But in being baptized, the Spirit of God came upon him. The Spirit of God hovered upon Messiah. The Spirit of God flooded him. Oh, my friends, how we need the Holy Spirit. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to do the public ministry, how much more do we need the gift of the Holy Spirit? The gift of the Holy Spirit. How much more? So much more. We need to be filled, baptized in the Spirit. He says, "I baptize you with water, but there's someone coming after me that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." My friends, we need that Holy Spirit. He's the one that opens doors for us. He's the one that brings us into the kingdom, because the kingdom is joy, righteousness, and peace in the Holy Spirit. It's not a matter of eating or drinking, St. Paul says. It's not a matter of foods being kosher. But the kingdom of God is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And yet we have not seen what Jesus wants us to see. What is that? "Thy kingdom come in the Holy Spirit on earth where we live as it is in heaven." That is the will of God. That is the will of God. Now I'm going to tell you, that's the reality. Everything else is not reality. You know, we have people coming to church. Maybe they come 3 times a week. That's wonderful. But you see, God wants to bring about the kingdom of God where we are, as it is in heaven, that his will would be done as it is in heaven. Okay, therefore, we have to look at heaven a little. I've been listening to the book of Revelation talking about heaven. Heaven, there is no more crying, no more death, no more separation, no more sickness, no more shame, no more guilt. I'm telling you, in heaven, no one's unhappy. In heaven, everyone's having the best day today. It's even better than yesterday. Everyone's having the best day today. That's why when we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we should expect healing to take place. Why? Because there is no sickness in heaven. We should expect healing to take place. Why? Because there's no sickness in heaven. That's the way God wants it to be. But I tell you, the enemy of our soul has lied to us, has told us that the sickness that we carry is the cross. That is not the cross. I'm very sorry. The cross is persecution. Jesus said to his disciples when they asked him, "We have left mother, father, sister, brothers, lands, and everything for your sake. What do we expect to receive?" And Jesus said, you can expect more mothers, not fathers, because there's only one father, more sisters, more brothers, more lands, and persecution beside. Jesus did not promise the cross being sickness. He promised the cross being persecution, that we would live for him so that we would be persecuted, that people will want to blow out the light that we have, and they'd want to kill us. I'm telling you, friends, the cross is not sickness. God hates sickness. God hates sickness. God does not want sickness to happen. But it does happen because we're in the world. That's why when we get sick, we have to go to the best doctors. We have to go to the best hospitals. We have to go to the people who pray so that we would be healed. We need all that. I'm not saying you only get prayed for. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you go to the best doctors, the best hospitals, and get people to pray for you that God would heal, because it's his will that we be healed. I believe that. I believe that. I remember at my father's funeral, it was 1980. August 1st, he died. I remember that when I started the funeral, I screamed out when it was time to preach, "Death stinks." The bishop was my Lord. He had his head bowed. Whoever the bishop was at that time had bowed, and he jumped up. You know, here I holler, "Death stinks," because it's not God's plan that we die. That came in through sin. Death is not something beautiful. The only beautiful thing about death is that we go into the presence of God if we are believers. Hallelujah. And the last enemy to be destroyed, the scripture says, is death. So the scripture calls death an enemy, not a friend, but an enemy. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. I remember saying, "Death stinks." And I remember saying, if my father was still alive, I would still be praying with him for healing. If my father was still alive, I would get more people to pray for him for healing. And I asked the question, why wasn't my father healed? I have no idea. He was not healed physically. I have no idea why he wasn't healed. But I'm going to tell you, I said to the people that were at Mass, and there were lots of people at that funeral, I said, there's going to be a day when somebody comes up to me and asks me to pray for somebody who has cancer of the bowel. And you've got to pray that I would pray for them. Because you know what? My father wasn't healed, and it didn't take 2 weeks. Lady came up to me when I was at Sacred Heart of North Quincy. And this lady came up to me and said, would you pray for my husband? And I looked at her and I said, does he have cancer? And she said, yes. I said, is it of the colon? She said, yes. How do you know? And I looked up at the stairs that were in front of me. They were the dirty, rotten stairs. They needed a good washing. And I wanted to run up those stairs and say, you know what? My father wasn't healed. Why should I pray for your husband? That temptation came to my mind. But I put my hand on the lady's head, and I prayed what God didn't give my father, he would give this man. And I prayed for his healing. And you know what? He got better. He got better. I do not understand, but I know Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's not nearly what we have in the church. That's not nearly what we have. As a matter of fact, we say the Our Father every day at Mass. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You don't even know what we're saying. We don't even know what we're saying. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. That means that people are being taken care of by the church that are poor, that we're giving them the life of grace as well as the needs that they have. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, no one is hungry. In heaven, no one is hungry. That's why we have a ministry to the poor. But there's more than feeding them. There's more than giving them chicken. There's more. There's bringing them to Christ and telling them how much He loves them in the depths of their pain, in the depths of being out on the street. The church has forfeited the care of the poor. We have given it to the state. And you know what? The poor happens to be our treasure. God always has delight in the poor. The underdog, the Lord always goes for the underdog. If you're the underdog today, I'm telling you, the Lord goes to you. You're the underdog. And He loves the underdog. And He wants to care for the underdog. And He knows what the underdog is going through because He took it on the cross. He bore it in His own flesh. Not only His flesh physically, but emotionally, He knows exactly what you're going through. Every single person that has ever lived or will ever live went into the heart of Jesus. He said, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." On the cross, Jesus drew you into His sacred heart. He drew Adam and Eve into His sacred heart. He drew me into His sacred heart. The baby that is being born today, He drew into His sacred heart. Every single person He drew into His heart. When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. That's what He said, and that's what He meant. And He understands you being the underdog. But you see, you've got to take His yoke upon you. You know, the yoke has two places for the beast of burden. You put your head in one, and Jesus puts His head in the other. I'm telling you, if you are bearing a yoke apart from Jesus, you're going to fall, you're going to fail, and you're going to die. Jesus wants to be the other ox. Jesus wants to be the other ox that puts His head in the yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come to me, all of you who find life weary and burdensome, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and my yoke is easy. My burden, light. So many times we experience the burden that is not light, but it is terribly heavy. It is not God's burden. Jesus said, "My burden is light." My burden is light. It's what the world puts on us. It's what the devil puts on us. That's why we need a ministry of prayer, a ministry of healing, a ministry of deliverance. I'm not saying that everyone needs to be delivered, but I'm telling you, sometimes the old devil puts things on people, and the only way to get it off is that he be delivered by the name of Jesus. Jesus said this, "If I cast out demons by the power of God, by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God is upon you." One great sign of the kingdom is exorcism. One great sign of the kingdom is that people get delivered from the devil. Let me tell you one thing about drugs. It is more than an addiction. When people are taking drugs, I am telling you, it is more than an addiction. Sometimes the devil gets involved with the addiction. And unless he is cast out of the person, you're going to have a person that's not fully healed, because they might stop taking drugs, but they're going to live the same way. They're going to act the same way. I tell you, the devil has part in bringing sickness to people because he loves that kind of stuff. And he loves the church to say, "Well, that's your cross." No, I'm very sorry. Then don't build hospitals, church. If that's our cross, we should not be building hospitals. Let everyone suffer. Let everyone die. That's what should happen. But we build hospitals in the church. We build hospitals throughout the world, saying that we believe that sickness should be healed. That's what we're saying. When I build a hospital, I'm making a a declaration. And the declaration is, as a Catholic hospital means that we believe that people should be healed. And we need the doctors and the nurses to help them be healed and the technicians to help them be healed. We don't say to the people who come into the emergency room, "Oh, this is your cross. Have a nice day. We'll see you tomorrow." No. What do? If someone's got pains in the heart, we check them in. We give them tests. We make sure that their heart is all right. That's what you've got to do. That's exactly what you have to do. You see, sickness is not a cross, people. I'm going to tell you, God doesn't put sickness on you. The devil does. God doesn't put, and sickness is a real thing. And that's why you need the best doctors. That's why you need the best prayers. And I'm not saying that everyone that's sick is got the devil. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying this, that the kingdom of God, when we declare the kingdom of God, sickness has to flee. When we declare the kingdom of God, the devil has to flee. But you have to have discernment as how to pray with people. Sometimes it's just physical. I remember praying with a woman. The woman had cancer of the stomach, and I prayed for her. And I started to pray like this, "Scour it out, scour it out, scour it out." And I kept on saying those words, "Scour it out, scour it out, scour it out." That's good. I kept on saying. And, you know, it didn't sound very prayerful, but I was asking the Lord to scour it out. And I kept on saying it. And after I finished saying it maybe 10, 15, 20 times, I finished praying. And when she went for her CAT scan, there was no cancer. And the doctor said, "It looks like it's been scoured out." That's what the doctor said. And she started to laugh. She started to laugh because she remembered what I prayed. "Scour it out, scour it out, scour it out, scour it out, scour it out." Yeah. Thank God she had the best doctors. Thank God she had the best doctors. Thank God she went to the best hospitals. Thank God she had the best oncologist. Thank God. But we don't stop there. We pray. And it should be the job of every priest to pray with the sick, not only from the book, but from his heart. I told you the story about Father Arthur. I love that story. A woman came with her baby and said, "You heal my baby." And Father Arthur said, "I've never healed anyone. Jesus can heal the baby." The lady put the baby in Arthur's hands and said, "You heal my baby." And Father Arthur began to pray the Our Father, and the woman comes back. The baby was completely healed. Father Arthur's ministry changed. He's a man who prays for the sick today because he saw that the Lord moved through his simple little prayer. I'll tell you, it was the woman's faith that healed that little baby. And she took him to the man of God. That's exactly what people should be doing, taking people to the men of God, to the women of God, so that they would be healed. So that the kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Healing and deliverance are signs of the kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. And it should be that way. It should be that way. It should be that way. When sickness comes, we don't say, "Thank you, God, for the sickness." No. We go and get help for the sickness. I had the shingles about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago. And one way, it was a blessing. Even though it was terrible, it was a curse, but it was also a blessing. I won't tell you about the blessing. The shingles themselves caused me to get the right medicine that I needed. But that's another issue. And it wasn't going away. So I went to a Chinese doctor. The Chinese doctor gave me something to drink for the week. It tastes like swamp water. It was terrible. It was as bitter can be. You want to know that after 7 days, I had no pain with the shingles anymore. Every once in a while, I might get a twinge, but it wasn't like it was before. It was, you know, I've been healed by that swamp water. People would say, you know, they don't know what they're doing. Well, I'm going to tell you, people can have the shingles for months and months and even years. And I wasn't going to deal with these terrible pains because it took all the energy out of me. I had no energy to start with, and now I get the shingles, and I have all the energy taken out of me. And I can't do anything but lie on a couch. So I went to the doctor. The doctor gave me medicine, but the medicine didn't work. I went to the Chinese doctor. The Chinese doctor gave me swamp water to drink. Only God knows what kind of herbs were in there. Only God knows. And God has given us herbs on the earth for medicine. That's real. You know, he has given the church herbs for medicine. Father Joshi said, you know, my mother, because they're in India, when we're sick, we don't go get pills. My mother goes out and looks for different herbs and gives it to us, and we get better. We get better because my mother knows what kind of herbs that we need. This is in a third world country. This is in a third world country. This is a third world country. And the mother goes out and gets the herbs and gives it to the kids. She had 11 children. Thank God the herbs were growing. They're all healthy. That wonderful. That wonderful. God has placed herbs on the earth to bring healing, and you know, we don't know it. When I say something about Western medicine, Western medicine is beautiful. That's our medicine. But the medicine is not to heal. The medicine is to cover up the sickness. So you take aspirins for your headache, but you really take it to mask it. The pain is masked over. You know, it doesn't heal. It just does what it needs to do. You don't have a headache, but it doesn't heal. Or you take medicine for your stomach. Most medicines don't heal. That's why I have to keep on taking the medicine. There is one medicine that does heal. It's called Protonix. If you're having a trouble with your stomach, have the doctor give you Protonix. It not only stops the digestive problem, but it also heals. Protonix is the name of the... You might ask how I know. Because I had a digestive problem many years ago, and the doctor gave me Protonix, and the Protonix not only stopped the pain in my stomach when I ate, but also healed. You know, most Western medicine just covers up the sickness. They don't believe in the healing, you know? Anyway, get healed. Get people to pray. Go to the best doctors. Don't be afraid. Don't think that God put this on you. Please, don't think that God put this on you. That's a terrible thing to give God the blame, that God put this on me. That's a terrible thing. That's to tell you that God loves you to be sick. No, God doesn't love you to be sick. God wants you whole. There is not one person who came to Jesus that he said, "This is your cross." Not one person. Blind Bartimaeus, I'm telling you, he didn't say, "Blind Bartimaeus, this is your cross, stay blind." He says, "Your faith has made you whole." And Bartimaeus saw. With the woman at the well, who had five husbands, he fixed her emotionally, and he fixed her sexually, and he fixed her every way that she became an evangelist. And only God knows where she began to follow Jesus, because he touched her in the depths of her being, and she didn't need the fifth husband anymore because Jesus healed her. It's totally amazing that Jesus did not go by people and say, "Just suffer, kids. Just suffer. It's okay to suffer. It's fine to suffer." And then the church, as it grows older, says, "We don't need healing." My friends, if kingdom should come on earth as it is in heaven, we need healing. We need people to pray in the name of Jesus. We need the blood to transfuse us. We need that God would do something. We need that. You know, people come and they need to be delivered. We can't say to them, "Well, you know what? Let the devil stay in your life. You love God. Have a nice day. And when you're in heaven, you won't have this devil in you." The people come to us and they've been cursed. The lady came to us who had been cursed. They cursed her food. And thanks be to God, we prayed with her. And as we prayed with her, every demon that was in her came out. This is years and years ago. Years and years ago. She said, "Somebody cursed my food." Listen to this. So I said, "Did you take medicine for psychological? It doesn't help. I went to the psychiatrist. Did you take other medicine? I went to the hospital. I've been cursed." So we dealt with the curse. And you know what? It came out of her. I never heard from her again because she was having a good day. She didn't need to see me anymore. And if you do this by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God is upon you. The kingdom should come on earth as it is in heaven. That's the will of God. And we're not even near that. Please, when you pray the Our Father, stop when you say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Please, Lord, give us the Holy Spirit so that the kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Please give us more of the Holy Spirit that the kingdom of God would come on earth as it is in heaven. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling you that, you know, it's Jesus. It's not Mohammed, it's Jesus. It's not Buddha, it's Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is true God from true God, true light from true light, begotten, not made, of one in being with the Father. Through him all things were made. Yes, Jesus. It's all about Jesus and how wonderful he is, and that he gives us the right to become children of Abba, children of Daddy. That God says to us, as he said to Jesus in the Jordan, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He says to you today, I'm well pleased. I do need to hear from you, please, because we need to pay our bills. So please get a pen, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, come on, get it. Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.